Welcome to Parents' Perspective. If you've ever wanted proof that nature has a sense of humor, you get it when your baby learns to walk. Here is this momentous milestone of development that you've been waiting for, and then it turns out that nature gives kids the ability to walk about 6 months before it gives them their full set of brains. Babies get upright, take their first steps, and then within minutes are chasing the ice cream truck down the street. They run full blast into poles, careen into tables and chairs, and hurl themselves through rose bushes. They get up and keep going, of course, since they're built low to the ground. You are left gasping for breath and shaking from excess adrenaline. Jean, a friend of mine, once rescued her 11-month-old walker from 17 different bashing accidents and turned her face to the sky and shouted, "Please, please hook up the brains!" I'm Sandy Burt, reading from the work of today's guest.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today lightens the lives of parents everywhere with her columns and books that help us realize that this parenting business is fun and funny. Sandy Kahn Shelton writes regularly for Working Mother magazine, as well as Good Housekeeping, Redbook, Ladies' Home Journal, and Woman's Day, and has written three wonderfully funny books for parents, You Might As Well Laugh, Sleeping Through the Night and Other Lies, and the newest, Preschool Confidential. Sandy has, as she describes them, an exceptionally patient husband and three amazing children, two girls ages 22 and 12, and a boy age 25. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Sandy.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Everything that we have read of yours is so funny. Why do we need to view our parenting issues with an element of humor?
Well, if I can be serious about humor for a minute, I think that it's important for kids to see parents having a good time. I feel like when they look at the newspapers and hear the news, that everything seems kind of grim. And I think kids get frightened by that. And they're also scared of not achieving and not being the kind of kids that they know they should be. And when they see their parents taking things lightly, I think it really helps them see that life just isn't all that serious.
Can you remember an incident in parenting your own children where humor saved you from a more drastic course of action? We shouldn't say like murder, but...
Well, I think that happens nearly daily when you have kids. I was remembering the other day the school projects. Do you remember those days when you open up the backpack and suddenly you realize that your whole evening is not going to be your whole evening? There was a time when I think the thing that saved me from the most drastic course of action was I opened up the backpack and there was an assignment there to outfit a set of wooden clothespins in authentic medieval costumes.
Oh, sure. We have that around the house all the time.
And they had underlined authentic three times.
Like you're supposed to have it in your attic?
Yeah. Just authentic medieval clothespin costumes, you know.
Did they give you clothespins?
The tiny little suits of armor must be the most fun.
That's right. And the ladies' dresses, you know. And so I wrote back and I said, I don't think in medieval times they had time to outfit medieval clothespins. And I don't have that kind of time either. But it just is incredible what you're asked to do. And I think back when we were in school, I mean, wasn't our homework for us to do?
That was,
do you remember
it.
That you wouldn't dream of asking your parents. And now teachers will tell you that it's time that the family can bond. I say the only time you really bond is when the glue gun gets away, you know, and it sticks you all to each other.
But all the projects always involve parents running around getting supplies. Even when the child is doing it himself.
That's true.
We have this wonderful, enriching thing that's called the science fair.
Oh, the science fair. And I don't know about you, but I have a son who just is not content unless he has done the most elaborate project that there is. He came home once and said that he'd signed up to build a working hovercraft that operated on lasers.
Oh, that's very nice. She must have had that in the backyard.
Yeah.
Put it together.
And I said, lasers, you know, those things they do eye surgery with? And he said, yes, we'll find lots of uses for them after this project is done.
After you buy one for $1 million.
Sure. Well, we were going to build a laser.
Oh, no problem.
He said, well, first we'll just need a ruby. You know, that's all.
That's easy.
Now, none of this is funny when your child is coming home and telling you this. You know, and your hair is standing on end and you're
and
thinking.
It's done in about a week. It needs to be done.
It needs to be done, yes. And you know you're not getting a ruby, you know, and yet you have to convince this totally irrational person that this is impossible. It's not funny at all. It's only funny later, don't you think? So much about parenting is funny later.
That's why we have to live long.
That's right.
And write it down if you find a few minutes.
Write it down.
How would you advise strung-out parents to be able to find the funny side of their situations?
Well, what saved me was really talking to friends, I think, that when you're in that kind of vacuum of parenting, you know, and we're all in our isolated little houses dealing with this, that it can get so overwhelming and really almost tragic sometimes. You know, you just feel like this is the hardest job in the world and that you're muddling through and it seems like everybody else is doing it right and you're the only one that can't get dinner on the table and can't get out of your bathrobe till 4 p.m. when you have a new baby, all of that stuff. And if you share the stories, I think that's the thing that really makes you see that everybody's going through this at one time. I don't know why that helps, but it does.
We always tell parents check. That.
Do you really? Yeah. I think it's the most important thing, really.
We found that. That's how we met.
Is it?
We were looking for people in similar situations. At the time, we each had three little boys, overlapping ages. Somebody thought, this will be fun for these women to get together. It was great fun for us. The kids never hit it off. They put up with each other. We became fast friends, and we shared all this stuff. And we used to say all the time, we should be writing this down. We should be keeping track of this. It's funny when you look back on it.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes it isn't funny. Sometimes you're working on a problem, and
right.
It's very helpful to understand that, other parents are working on the same problem. And it does lighten the load.
It really does. So much, I think, that's hard, people say shouldn't be hard, like getting a baby to sleep. I had friends who said, well, you just take the baby in, you put it in the crib, you turn off the light, you walk out, you close the door, the baby sleeps.
Did they have an electric baby?
They must have. But you know how some people's babies just do that and then...
I've heard
of this. My babies never slept. Not any of the three of them ever wanted to sleep. I would be in there rocking the crib. I would be doing all of these things and nothing ever worked. Well, I thought it was just me. But it turns out when you talk to enough people, you can see that nobody knows how to get a baby to sleep.
They don't come with warranties or anything like that.
That's right. There's some magic babies. Have you ever noticed the parents of the magic babies, you know, how they give lessons to everyone else and they think it's something that they did?
Mm-hmm. Not fair.
We had one of our kids, the first kid was very still physically. He was very still. And so I could leave him on the changing table. If you can imagine this, I must have had not a single brain cell. I mean, I didn't go out of the room, but I would leave him on the changing table to bend down to get something. Now, everyone knows that you're supposed to put your hand on the baby. Well, I thought I must have been such a wonderful mother that he just knew not to roll off.
Until the second one came along.
Yes, I know. There's so much that happens that's luck.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of humor in parenting.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking and laughing with Sandy Kahn Shelton about humor in parenting.
I have a friend who says that you get three things with each baby, you know. And with my kids, I got things like they would eat Brussels sprouts. You know, that's big.
That's pretty good.
But it's not the thing you'd pick. You know,
no.
You might.
In the list of things, that's true.
Sleeping in the night would really take priority over that.
All of our kids had middle of the night times when they came to visit us. When they were old enough to come and do that. And they thought it'd be nice to stay with us,
yes.
You know, all night. And so I would ask other people, well, what did you do? What do you mean? What did I do? I told them to go back to sleep.
And they went magically.
Oh, yeah, sure. They just turn around and march back to sleep. No way.
They always bring things when they come in the middle of the night, too.
Because they're going to stay.
I woke up once. I had a live pumpkin next to my head in a Tonka truck, you know.
Good. That's cozy. Better and the drill you mentioned in one of your books.
That's right.
But it is interesting. I mean, they come like they're coming on a journey, like with a suitcase, with many things that they might need during the evening.
And sometimes they come with questions. I had one that, when he was five, woke me up. He's tapping me on the shoulder. You know how they whisper and tap you on the shoulder?
So they won't wake you up.
They won't really wake you up.
You're just going to answer
in your
sleep.
They won't be responsible. What is it I said? He said, why does Connecticut have three C's?
Oh, that's a good one.
Good. That's a big one.
3 in the morning.
One of these questions then. Isn't that interesting? I used to be worried that I was going to connect with the wrong kid in the wrong way because the difference in age between the oldest kid and the youngest kid is 15 years. There were a few in the middle, but that's... And so when the oldest kid was going out, the youngest kid, they were both up during the middle of the night for different reasons. And I was just hoping that I wasn't going to discuss, like, philosophy with the baby and diaper the 15-year-old.
It's true. I had that kind of family, too. And it makes a challenge, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're dealing with teenage angst and temper tantrums and biting, you know, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to shift gears fast.
That's right. What age kids do you find the funniest to observe? Not necessarily to have at the moment, but...
You know, I love preschoolers. I think that age when they really first learn to talk and are getting all their concepts straight is really the funniest. Of course, at each stage that my kids have gone through, there's been something in there that I've just adored. I love watching how their minds just develop and how they can take in more and more. Teenagers, I think, are wonderful. You know, they get such a bad rap, and they are hard, but... There's something just wonderful about the way they see the world and are putting it all together. If you can stand to be around them for, you know.
Well, and sometimes when they're not yours. I was a teacher of teenagers, and people asked me all the time when they found that out, why would you choose to teach teenagers? I, of course, had no teenagers of my own at that stage of my life. I thought they were marvelous because they're becoming people. Their little kids are learning to speak and they're learning to communicate, and I love that. And what they say, of course, we still, like you cite in all of your books, things they said and the way they said them when they were little, we still say those things in our house, you know. But, I mean, we have one child who had a guinea pig, and the younger child could not say guinea pig. He used to always say, oh, look, see the goonie bug? Well, we think goonie bug is a great name for a guinea pig, and that's what he called it. But teenagers are different because they are aware of the world around them, and they're funny, too.
They are funny. They really are. Yeah, they have wonderful senses of humor.
Developing senses of humor.
Yes.
What kinds of humor have your kids contributed to your family dynamic?
Well, you know, when kids are little and they go through that time where they're trying to make up jokes, do you remember that?
Yes.
Is that the most horrendous time?
And you have to laugh.
You have to laugh, and they get it wrong. I remember because of having two older ones and then a younger one, they would be, you know, they gave baby school all the time, and they would work with her on, you know, her joke delivery. And they were teaching her the knock-knock joke, you know, the boo-hoo one.
Oh, yes.
And she would come in, you know, time and time again, knock, knock, who's there? And then she'd say, you don't have to cry. And then she would burst into tears because she knew she messed it up. And then, you know, the time when they just are trying to invent their own jokes. Like, I remember riding down the road and it would be, did you ever put a building on your pizza? Did you ever put a car on your pizza? You know, and each one you're supposed to just fall over laughing at. And if you don't laugh hard enough, you know, they're really watching to see.
We had one who mastered telling one joke. I can't remember how old he was. I'm obviously quite young. And everybody laughed. They thought it was quite funny. So it was unfortunately a family gathering. He told it again. They laughed, but not quite as hard. And then he told it again.
Yes.
We're expecting that response.
We were hoping to have a hook, you know, just to sort of get
right.
How did you get started writing humor, Sandy?
Well, that's actually a very funny story. I was a single mother for quite a few years, and I had these two adorable little children who drove me nuts, you know, as that happens, you know, especially when you're there alone with them, it can get totally overwhelming. And I was working as a news reporter at the New Haven Register, and it was the 80s. And you remember the 80s? How nobody had kids in the 80s?
Long ago.
You know, people
had
power breakfasts. Well, somehow I worked in a newsroom where nobody had children.
Oh, my gosh.
I was the only one. And they were always inviting me to come play tennis with them in the morning before work, if you can imagine. I mean, I was looking for homework in the couch cushions, you know, and and all of that stuff. I would have these mornings where, well, I remember once my first grader wouldn't go to school because the goldfish missed him while he was gone. So we had to find a school picture and glue it onto the side of the goldfish bowl so that the fish could watch the picture.
Oh, that's
and,
a good
you
idea.
Know, I'm making an elephant costume at the bus stop. You know, we're running all around. The two-year-old won't leave because she's throwing a tantrum. She wants the soy sauce poured out of the soy sauce bottle, and she wants her orange juice to be put in there so she can drink it.
Oh, from the bottle.
From a special kind of bottle.
Just going wild. I got to work that day, and I looked down, and my shoes didn't match.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
I love that.
It's good you had shoes on.
I was lucky to have shoes.
That's like going to the party, which we have both done, I believe, and you take off your coat, and on over the top of this beautiful dress is a burping diaper.
Yes. Yes.
Not quite a pashmina shawl, but the thought is there.
Exactly. You're lucky we didn't have spit up on
it. Well, that's right.
You have to laugh.
You have to laugh. So I would go to work in this condition more often than not, you know, of just I'd done a day's work by the time I got there. And I had pictures of the kids on my desks, and people would come by and say, you know, what are those? I was always having to explain, well, it's possible to reproduce yourself. You get little people, and they come and live at your house, and they're cute, and they smell nice, and, you know.
Sometimes, usually.
They clean up nice, at least. So an editor, I got to where I would tell these stories. People would gather around wanting to hear what my morning had been like.
Fun.
Oh, my goodness.
And see, I'm from the South, where it must be a tradition that you're allowed to complain as long as you make it funny. You know, you can't whine. You have to tell the story in a funny way.
So you were the morning entertainment.
So I was the morning entertainment. And one day the editor came by. You know, editors are always trying to get reporters to work. And he came by and said, I think you should write these down and publish them in the paper. So it started. I figured I could do it for 5 weeks before I ran out of material. It went on for 10 years. And it was just, you know, and the thing was, I didn't know that it was a humor column. I didn't know that at first. You know, it was just what was going on in my life. And later it turned out, well, as those stories do when you tell them later, they have a little bit more of a perspective on them, you know, that you can live with.
That human element connects you to so many people. You didn't realize that until then.
I didn't realize. It also served, nobody in that newsroom has ever come up with any kids since then. I think they were all going home. It was birth control for the whole newsroom. People were doubling up on their birth control devices.
Oh, that's very funny. They're lost, don't you think?
I think so.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of humor in parenting.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. Today, we are chuckling away with Sandy Kahn Shelton about humor in parenting. What specific things can we do as parents to inject humor into our interactions without losing focus on the important stuff? We have to do that, too.
Yes. I think humor often is the important stuff. You know, that showing kids that life has a lighter side is really an important job that we need to do every day. And if that means, you know, eating ice cream at an odd time of the day or, you know, taking them out for a walk and letting them just wander where they want to, I just think those kinds of things bring up the spontaneous kind of situations that kids get humor from. Did that answer that question?
Yeah, fine. Whatever you say, we
kids,
enjoy.
Whatever you say.
No, I think saying that humor is the important stuff is really hitting the nail on the head for a lot of people who are little afraid
right.
that they're not serious enough as parents, or they don't know how to do the serious stuff as much as they should be. And you're saying, lighten up, the serious stuff's going to happen. Just go
I
ahead.
Think that's true. You know, that famous line that's always quoted from Dr. Spock, you know more than you think you do, is really what I think parents need to guide them. There's so many books telling people just how to do absolutely everything for their kids that I almost feel lucky to have had my children very young before I knew better. Because now I have friends that are 40 and thinking, oh, I don't know if I could do it right. It's so scary. It feels
a little too
like,
much thought.
Yes, mm-hmm. too much thought into yeah. it.
Well, and I think our families are very fragmented now. We don't have Aunt Sarah around the corner or somebody to say, oh, yeah, your Uncle Herman used to do that. He'll grow out of it. So there's no perspective that we have. So we're doing it the best way we know, which is to buy lots and lots of books and then read the books and underline the important things in the books. And once it gets to be a study hall, then it's really different.
That's true. I think it sort of happened when parenting became a verb. Instead of just seeing it as a relationship that you have with another person, it becomes this thing that you have to know how to do and you have to do it right. And everybody will tell you it's your fault if it doesn't work out. So,
oh, yes. Well, that's one thing we can all agree on.
It definitely is the mother's fault, isn't
it?
Bet.
I have a son who's about to complete his training as a psychiatrist. And so I said to him recently, you know, Sandy and I have been talking about, were we kind enough, gentle enough, nice enough to our children when they were little? You know, the years go by so fast, we're not so sure. He said to me, Ma, whatever's crazy about me is not your fault. And I thought, yes, I'm getting it from a
psychiatrist. That is wonderful.
So I asked him, could we please put that on tape? And he just started laughing.
I think you need to get him to sign it and you should frame it.
I think so.
Actually, we're going to have a contract and give it to each of our children.
That's a very good idea.
What's the funniest parenting anecdote that you know that you can share that will lighten the load of all of our listeners?
Some you might not be able to share. We understand.
Well, how liberal is your show? One of the things about having kids is the way they embarrass you all the time, which is amazing then when they get to be teenagers and suddenly you're embarrassing them.
By
which
breathing.
Is, yes. 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 Just the fact that you
exist.
Breathe there is, is hard. But some of the funniest parenting anecdotes have come from situations where people have just wished they could die, that the floor would just open up and swallow them. A friend of mine, she and her husband took their 2-year-old out to dinner, which I think right there, they deserve some kind of medal
big
for doing
red
that.
Drive-ins are good for that. Yeah.
They were desperate and they went to a restaurant. And my friend got up and excused herself to go to the ladies' room. And the 2-year-old stood up and yelled to everybody in the whole place, "My mommy has gone to make a big poop."
Wonderful.
And, the clientele took this news calmly, and everybody, kept eating their
they
dinners.
Didn't rush for the bathroom.
When my friend came out,
they all applauded.
They all laughed.
Oh,
the whole place just started laughing,
she
and
wondered.
She didn't know why. She sat down and she said to her husband, "John, why are they laughing?"
I can't.
I don't know. I'll tell you later. He's very kind.
Sandy, what resources on parenting humor would you recommend for parents? We know these three wonderful books, You Might As Well Laugh, Sleeping Through the Night, and the newest one, Preschool Confidential, are excellent resources because they make life fun. But what else?
Well, I think, again, it's the stories that your friends tell. I mean, you can watch Marx Brothers movies or anything that kind of makes you feel better about life. And I think also going along with that is taking care of yourself. I don't think that can be stressed too much. That when you're trying to take care of a family, you're just going and going and going. It's so easy to get depleted. And anything that kind of restores you will help you see the humor in other things. I don't think humor just is going to pop out at you from all sides. There was a woman who called me up once when I was doing my column for the paper, and she said that she'd come home the day before and her dishwasher had overflowed and there were suds all over the kitchen floor and her 2-year-old twins were skating in the soap. The babysitter had quit and the cats were tearing down the curtains.
Oh.
And she said, and I sat there and I thought, Sandy Shelton would laugh at this. She would think this was funny. So I wanted to call you up and tell you.
Oh,
and I said, do you think I'm a maniac?
Cute.
That's that funny?
That's funny.
That's funny. She was 6 months. You know?
She was relying on you to help her through. That's so cute.
We had a situation in our house with a wet floor where we went out and left one of the kids in charge of babysitting the other two. And we came home and we said, is everything okay? No one seemed to be murdered. Everyone was sleeping nicely. And so the babysitter one, who was 12 at the time, said, well, one of the younger ones had spilled something all over the kitchen floor. And there was this pregnant pause, and I thought, well, he's going to say, and then we cleaned it up. But he said, I'm not sure how it is now.
Nobody went in the kitchen in between.
No. So I went in the kitchen, and of course the floor was filled with whatever liquid had been spilled. It was a catastrophe. But in the middle of the floor was a beautifully lettered and decorated cardboard sign that said, caution, wet floor. This child was clearly artistic, but not very practical.
Not going to clean it up.
No. Well, we have had such a special time, the two of us. I hope our listeners have enjoyed this from afar, because this has been a wonderful, wonderful time to spend with you.
Thank you. I've had a good time, too.
Our gift for our first caller will be one of Sandy Kahn Shelton's books. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from.
To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, which is available at all major bookstores, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from Sandy Spring National Bank. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.